Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Wicked Curiosity Media, its affiliates, or its parent company, Angel's Hand.
So welcome to the Standing Eight Count Show. This is our first show. This show is going to be about all combat sports. We're talking MMA, wrestling, kickboxing, submission grappling, jiu-jitsu, everything. We're going to talk about boxing, just anything you can imagine, we're talking about it, combat sports related. My name is Brian. I am the co-host. Let me introduce you to our other co-host, Jason. Go ahead.
What's up, dude? It's been a while.
It has been a while. You guys might have heard us. We've done a couple of shows in the past together. We did do the combat sports show. That was fun. We did that for quite a while. Before that, Jason, tell them what we did.
We were on air, I want to say, for almost a year with the Undisputed show. And, of course,
yes,
all three of these shows have been on all three different networks. So
We have fun. We want to tell you we're going to be here to have fun. We want to talk MMA, boxing, everything like that. Anybody that wants to call in, we want a good discussion. If you guys want to call in, the number is 718-664-9735. We love to talk about it. We're going to be talking a little boxing, a little MMA this week. We're talking about an upcoming card. We're going to talk about the UFC on ESPN 10 that they just had. That was a pretty cool card. It was headlined by Jessica Eye versus Cynthia Calvello. We've got some big boxing news that just came out this week involving Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua, two of the best heavyweights out there right now. We've got some kind of big news happening in MMA after the last card, and we're going to talk a little bit about UFC 251 coming up. So first things first, I want to get into Jason. I want to get his take on Amanda Nunes, the current champ. She's the only one still fighting in the UFC because, as you all know, Henry Cejudo retired and dropped his belt. That was kind of out of the blue. She just defended her title, her featherweight title, against now her name has slipped my mind because I was so nervous about tonight, Felicia Spencer, who is a very good up-and-coming fighter. Jason, Amanda just announced that she was seriously considering retiring and moving on into training and other things. What do you think about that? You think she's accomplished enough in MMA, or you think she should stick around and maybe go for Nunes versus Cyborg 2?
She has nothing left to prove. She's accomplished everything she needs to accomplish. The division she's in, unless she wants to go up a weight class, which would not be a bad idea. There's just nothing in, there's no one in this weight class that can handle her.
Well, no, she's the champ. Remember, she holds two belts. So she is the bantamweight, the 135-pound champ, and the featherweight, 145-pound champ.
Like I said, she'd go up to maybe 155.
There's no 155 in the UFC, man. There's nothing.
Oh, well.
There's like three fighters in 145.
But no, she's accomplished enough.
Yes. The one thing I would like to see her do, to be honest, you might have heard of this lady, Judo Kayla Harrison. She won a Olympics gold medal in judo. She's much more judo-oriented than Ronda Rousey. She's much bigger, though. She fights at 155 for the Professional Fighting League. So she's only had, I think, five fights so far. She's 5-0. She might be 6-0, but she's undefeated. She's a very, very strong grappler. She's still new at the game, obviously. But a lady that size with that good of grappling, you know, that might be something that would intrigue Amanda. Maybe something like that. What do you think?
My, well, Does she have a chin?
She does. She has a very good chin. But she hasn't.
Because you know Amanda's good. Amanda's going to come at you. She's going to come at you like shot from a cannon. Ask Ronda Rousey. Knocked her out in 45 seconds.
Yes. Well, in her defense, Ronda Rousey was being told by Edmund, her incredibly good trainer, that she could knock out Olympic boxers. So I wouldn't say Ronda got the best of training at that point.
Well, the way Amanda came out, I don't think anyone was going to be able to beat her anyway.
No.
There's no way.
No.
I have...
Amanda has looked... Wow, she has just looked so good these last couple of fights.
Outside of Chris Cyborg, I don't know anyone who packs a tougher punch than Amanda Nunez. I don't. Not in that weight class.
What do you think of Megan Anderson presenting a decent challenge? Because Megan's big. Megan's 6 foot something. She might be 6 foot even, but she's a big, strong girl. And she's probably going to be next for Amanda at featherweight if Amanda still wants to defend that title. Even though Spencer beat Megan Anderson fairly quickly, but she did it on the ground. If Anderson can keep it standing, she could present some problems with that length.
Amanda's not that tall.
No.
You're talking about a 6 footer. I mean, what's Amanda? 5'6", 5'7"? At
I
best?
Think 5'7", or 5'7", yeah.
So you have
that's
that reach.
That's a big challenge.
You
and,
have
and
that
a,
reach.
A female
and
fighter
she can,
is 6 foot. That's rare.
You have a fight. It doesn't matter if it's female fighter, male fighter, whatever. You've got that reach advantage. She can keep Amanda out.
Mm-hmm.
If she can keep Amanda around the outside, she'll dominate. Just like Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson was a fireball, but he only stood 5'10".
Mm-hmm.
You let a fighter like that inside, they are going to tear you up.
Yes.
Because they don't need much to unload.
No, that's very true. So I would say, in my opinion, yes, she has done enough, but I really hope she doesn't retire because it is an absolute pleasure to watch her go out there and dominate people. I really do enjoy it. One thing I would love to see Amanda get, even though I don't think it will ever happen at this point, is a rematch with Kat Zingano. Because Kat just absolutely demolished Amanda in the UFC, if you recall. Knocked her, got a TKO. I would love to see that one avenged.
I want to see the rematch between her and Cyborg. I don't think that will ever happen either.
No.
Chris Cyborg deserves a rematch. I don't even know. Whatever happened to her? Last I heard, she quit. And I don't know if she ever – did she go to Invicta? Did she go – I don't know where she went.
No, she's – Chris Cyborg's now in Bellator, and she actually won the Bellator featherweight title from Julia Budd, who in herself is a very, very tough fighter.
Wow.
Yeah. Julia's lost to Amanda Nunez and Chris Cyborg now, but she's good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, okay, you've lost to those two people. I don't count those as bad losses.
No.
Not at all.
Yeah, you know, Amanda, she's on an 11-fight win streak. It's just crazy. 11 fights.
If she doesn't retire, my opinion is, yeah, you. I mean, you've got the greats of Holly Holm. You've got, you know, Miesha Tate. You've got a lot of great female fighters. I think she's going to go down as the best female fighter to ever fight in the UFC.
Yeah, definitely. Now, so we agree, you know, I hope it's not time for her to retire, but if she does, you know, she's done a lot. She's amazing. So
she's done enough in my eyes.
Yeah. No, definitely. Next thing I wanted to bring up, this was kind of cool. This came out today that Justin Gaethje is trying to goad Conor McGregor into a fight. I really think that's what's going on, which I don't understand. Even though Gaethje's next for the light heavyweight title, the real light heavyweight title, he's talking a lot of smack about Conor McGregor. And what do you think about that? For one, what do you think of all Justin talking back to Conor right now when he should be focused on Khabib? That guy is a freaking monster. And what do you think if they actually fight? If Justin and Conor actually get in there and fight, what do you think of that?
Conor's going to have to get him in the first 2.5 rounds. If not, we all know Conor gasses.
Yes.
He puts so much energy in the first part of the fight. His endurance isn't that great. Now, he's had some fights in the past. He did very well against Khabib, but yet he got beat. He did go 30 minutes, you know, round 10 with Floyd Mayweather in a boxing match, of all things.
Mm-hmm.
But Conor goes balls to the wall for the first 2.5 rounds because he wants to knock everybody out. After that, it's almost fair game.
It's true. Yeah, that's true. That's a good assessment.
My question to you is,
mm-hmm.
how good is Justin Gaethje's chin? Because Conor McGregor possesses some power I have not seen in a very long time in a man that in a man of that stature. I mean, he's got a small frame.
Yeah, Conor, he's very powerful, but he's also very precise, like he says. And he's the first one to talk about it. He says his accuracy is what does it. He really believes that. And it's true. He is a very, very accurate striker. And you and I had been talking about this over the past couple of weeks. Conor's not only accurate with his fists, he's got some serious kicks too, and they're very accurate. He doesn't waste a bunch of punches that are just swinging at air for no reason. And it's fun to watch. I think
Conor's very fun to watch.
Yeah. The thing with Gaethje is he goes out there and he just fights. He's not super strategic, he did a lot better against Tony. But he just goes out there, he'll take a punch to give a punch. He doesn't care. He tends to get rocked a lot. Justin gets rocked on almost every single fight he's been in. And almost finished constantly. And yet he comes back. And at some point, he's not going to be able to do that. And we all know how good a striker Conor is. If Justin wants to stand there and strike with a guy that's that accurate and that precise, I mean, I know he's getting a lot of love right now because he beat Tony, but I don't know that Justin's going to make it out of 3 rounds with Conor.
I mean, if that fight goes longer than 3 rounds, then it's anybody's fight at that point. Because Conor's going to gas.
Yes.
We know this.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a
Conor's
going to
gas.
That's a pretty fun fight.
Honestly, I would rather see that fight than any one of those two against Khabib.
Yeah.
But the fight I really want to see, because I seriously think someone's going to come up. Someone's going out of there in a body bag. Is I want to see McGregor and Ferguson.
That would be a solid fight. That would be a fun one. I could see that one. That one going pretty well. You know, I really want to see how Tony responds to this loss that he just had.
Someone in that fight, because they're both great strikers. Someone in that fight is going home in a body bag. And
yeah,
and someone in that fight is not going to go longer than two. They're going longer than two rounds.
That's a tough fight. Yeah, those guys are going to go full bore. And man, yeah, I just don't know. You know, I don't know about that one. That would be fun.
That would be fun.
But you got to imagine with those four guys, it's definitely going to be Gaethje and Khabib coming up for the real title. But the loser, well, Dana White has already stated, and we all know Dana White's the president of the UFC. He's already stated that he's giving Conor the next shot after his, I would maybe call it an exhibition bout against Conor or Cowboy Cerrone. Because that's basically what it boiled down to, right? It wasn't a real fight. It was a 40-minute exhibition bout. It was like fucking Apollo Creed versus Ivan Drago. It wasn't even fair. If Conor had walked out and said, if he dies, he dies, it wouldn't have been any fucking different. That's exactly how it went. Conor just absolutely ran through Cowboy. Absolutely ran through him.
But what was so phenomenal about that fight is that Conor went up to 170 to get him. And Conor looked in the best shape I've ever seen him look. He even came out and stated, he came out and stated, he goes, once this fight was signed and I started my fight camp, he didn't have a drop of alcohol. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going out partying. It was just straight training. And he came out. The fight wasn't even fair.
It didn't seem like it, did it? And
now, I was watching I was watching that fight with a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
And we both looked at each other and he's like, Where did this Conor McGregor come from?
Yeah, and he had been out for a while before that. And, you know, he came in there and just tore into Cerrone. Now, everybody knows, it's no secret, Cowboy admits it himself, he's a slow starter. So if people go after him in the first round, he has a lot of trouble. He really does.
Yeah, but for a fighter to go up and wait and do what he did, that's you can't ask for anything better than that.
No, definitely not.
I've never really cared for Conor McGregor. And I've made this public over all these airwaves. I just don't really like what Conor stands for. But one thing you can say is that Conor McGregor backs up his shit talk. All that shit talk he does on the podium, he's one of the very few fighters that will go out there and back that shit up. So,
all right, Jason. We do have a caller. I'm going to take a caller right now, okay?
Okay.
We have a caller. I'm going to bring him on. This is Dan, guys. Hey, Dan, you're on the air.
Hey. Hey, I just wanted to welcome you guys to Wiki Curiosity Media. Listen to a little bit of your show before you brought me on. I want to say I'm excited for you guys to be here and, you know, excited to have you guys.
Well, thank you so much.
We are excited to be here. We love being here talking MMA and boxing and everything.
Well, sorry, I got a little distracted. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to you guys' show. You know, happy to have you guys here.
All right, man. Hey, thanks a lot. We definitely are happy to be here.
Well, you listened to our show, the Combat Sports Show, when we were with I can't remember the other radio station we were with.
But, yeah, the other network.
Yeah, the other network.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad you wanted us to come on board. So, we're going to have a lot of fun here.
Yeah, there were, you know, a couple of shows that I caught of your guys' when you guys were the Combat Sports Show on the other network. And I thought you guys did really well. And when it was brought to my attention that you guys wanted to do another show, I was really excited to bring you on. It's definitely going to add a new type of show to the network, a little more excitement to the network, a little more what's the word I'm looking for?
Awesomeness.
Well, yeah, definitely. But a little bit more diversity to the network, because we've been really focused on a couple different subjects on the network, and now we're expanding out, and I'm really glad to have you guys helping us do that.
Hey, Dan.
Hold on, Jason.
Why don't you give the listeners a little idea what to expect on the network besides our show, what they can hear, you know, with the other shows?
So we got Behind the Screen, Movie of the Week, which picks a movie out, a newly released movie. We watch it and we review it, give our opinion. There's like four or five of us that are on at a time. And we just give our opinion and our breakdown of the movie. That's Sunday night on the network. On Tuesday nights, we have the Falling from Grace podcast, hosted by Miss Angel. She picks a topic for the week. She puts it out in her blog, and then she expands on it on her podcast. Tonight, she was talking about the LGBTQ community. This is Pride Month, so she had a couple of listeners and a couple of guests on that were talking about their experiences. And I didn't get a chance to listen, but from what I heard, it was a really awesome show. Wednesday nights, we have the Cinephiles, where we pick a section of movies, you know, anything from Hollywood, directors, actors, whatever, and we just break it down and talk about it. And we have Note by Note on Friday nights that breaks down anything and everything having to do with music. They're really trying to focus on, like, local bands. Not just local to Knoxville, but local to any area, bands that don't get a lot of publicity, and just bring their name out.
Mm-hmm.
So we're the first sports show that's actually come on your network.
No, that is great. We got some good shows here, and we're just happy to join the team.
Well, I'm really glad you guys are on. You are one of the very first. You are the very first sports show to be on the network, and you know I'm glad you guys are leading the charge. I love the way you guys interact with each other and the guests that you bring on and the interviews that you do. I mean, it's to the point, down and dirty, and I mean, it's they're amazing shows.
Well, thank you.
Brian and I have been doing this a while. We have a lot of fun.
A lot of
banter back and forth. We'll cut up on each other here and there, make each other laugh, make our listeners laugh.
Sounds like just about every other show on the network. So yep.
Yeah,
fit right in.
We're talking sports and MMA. We're not talking world politics. We gotta. This is a thing to keep us going, and we're keeping it light, you know.
I think that's what the country needs right now. I think we need more shows like yours and those that we have on the network that are not focused on the BS that's going on in the world, but kind of taking you out of that and just trying to entertain you.
Yeah.
We're just glad to be on board. We've been wanting, you know, we've been out of it for, I would say, almost a year. It might not be quite a year, but we've been wanting to get back, you know, back on the air again.
Well, I'm really glad that you guys decided to come over to Wiki Curiosity. I'm really looking forward to, you know, where your show takes you, and really looking forward to being behind you all the way.
Definitely. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
All right. And we will definitely talk more with you later, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. You guys have a good rest of the show, and we'll talk later.
All right, Dan.
Dan. Thank you so much.
All right. See you.
Later.
All right, bye. All right, Jason. So before we go any further, talking about this show, we are definitely going to be having some guests coming on very, very soon. I would say within the next 3 weeks, we're going to have some big-name guests. We don't like to talk about our guests ahead of time, so we're not going to, because everybody knows how it is. People are busy. There's always something coming up, but with events starting to open up, we're definitely going to have we got a couple of fighters coming on, and I know for sure some office personnel coming in, and we're going to do some good interviews, some good, fun interviews with these people. We're going to talk MMA. We're going to talk boxing. We're going to talk about the events leading up to what they're doing. I really think it's going to be a blast.
We always have a blast. That's what people are going to start to realize. And just like what you told Dan, I mean, we hold a very light show. And a lot of times we come in without even an agenda to talk about. We just kind of go with the flow and just float.
Well, to an extent, yes. We're not going to talk too much world politics here. We're not going to get into too much of that stuff, because our uneducated opinions aren't going to mean shit for that. Yeah, we might have our opinions, but, you know, we're here to talk sports and really just try and entertain people and hopefully get some callers that will entertain us for a little while, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, in that vein, what news do you have in the boxing world, Jason?
Well, it was broke 2 days ago where Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua, which are they hold all five belts between the two of them.
Okay.
In the heavyweight division. They have agreed to terms. Now, money hasn't been discussed yet. And a venue, they were talking about fighting in Saudi Arabia. But it's a two-fight contract. That's going to pop off next year. Now this is what's exciting, is that.
Did you say they're gonna pop off?
If they both. Yeah, I said it's gonna pop off next year.
Sounds kind of vaguely sexual, don't you think?
Not really. Get your mind out of the gutter, asshole.
I'm sorry, I'm getting an '80s porn flash in my head, but okay, go on.
Well, get that. Ew! You put a bad image in my head. You're an ass.
Hey. Come on, try and be professional here, Jason. Go on.
You started it, Ash. So if everything goes right, we can have the first undisputed heavyweight champion in 20 years. Well, 21 years to be exact. And the last one that was to do that was Lennox Lewis back in 1999.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it had been that long.
I didn't either.
Now, Lennox Lewis, I didn't know that he actually was the undisputed champ. I thought, because, you know, we all know when he was going to fight Riddick Bowe, Riddick Bowe had to fight Lennox Lewis. He was next. And Riddick Bowe actually dumped one of his titles in the garbage. He wouldn't fight Lennox Lewis. He refused it.
Yeah, but I looked it up after you and I talked this afternoon, and the last undisputed heavyweight champion was Lennox Lewis back in 1999.
Wow.
See, I've always wanted this fight to go on. I've been preaching for this fight for 2 years, and it just hasn't. Nothing materialized out of it. But, and I thought the last undisputed heavyweight champion was Mike Tyson.
Mhm.
But that
couldn't have been
what I looked up today.
I know when he lost. That said Buster Douglas. Buster took him over, right?
Yep.
And then Buster lost to Holyfield. Was it Holyfield?
But see, that's who Lennox Lewis fought to be the undisputed heavyweight champion is when he beat Evander Holyfield in 1999.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. And tell everybody a little bit about, just go a little bit about Tyson Fury. Give us a little information on this guy.
This guy is a beast. He's undefeated. I don't know his record. I didn't look it up. He has one no decision, which that's, if you kind of go back and watch the fight, I still think it's a little controversial. I still think he won the fight against Deontay Wilder, the first fight. But this guy is 6'8", 265 pounds. But what's amazing about this cat is he is technically sound. I have never seen a boxer of this size that can box the way Tyson Fury can.
Yes.
It's phenomenal. I mean, I'm a fan.
No, he's impressive. He's impressive. And he's fighting a guy in Anthony Joshua. Now, Joshua has had 24 fights. He had one loss. We all know his one loss. It was by Andy Ruiz. Andy came in, Joshua didn't look himself. He didn't look very good. You know, everybody has an off night. Joshua, he's a big puncher, and he kind of relied on that, and it wasn't really working. Ruiz is just an animal. He's a tough guy, and he caught him. He definitely caught Joshua, but Joshua was able to turn it around in what, less than a year. Come back and actually take a unanimous decision against Ruiz. So
yep, and got all of his belts back.
Yes. So it's gonna be fun to see these guys finally go at it. I can't wait.
I can't either.
Give me just your real quick. We're not gonna break these fights down right now or anything because that's something that's gonna take take some time. What is your knee jerk reaction? Your immediate, who's winning this fight?
You know, before we go, let's back up a minute. Before we go into Joshua Tyson Fury, I want your opinion on the Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder escapade. Whatever you want to call the goddamn thing.
Does
Deontay Wilder even deserve a third fight for as bad as he looked in the second?
You know, I'm not a fan, and I know you know this about me. I have never been a fan of an immediate rematch. I've never been a fan of that. I feel if somebody beats you fair and square, The only time I've been a fan of it is when there's an obvious scoring issue. We're talking Lennox Lewis versus Evander Holyfield, where the New York, what was it, the mayor and the government had to get involved because it was obviously a fix. Unless there's an obvious issue, a foul, something like that, you shouldn't give an immediate rematch if somebody just beat you. This guy beat you. You need to go win a fight and become number one contender again. Let's get some fresh blood in there and see what happens. So,
now,
in my opinion, no. Now, that's not saying Wilder's not a very good fighter. He's a good fighter. Fury just had his number, completely had his number. So I don't think he deserves a rematch. No, I think he needs to go win at least one fight.
So there was a clause in that contract that the loser has got 30 days to exercise his rematch clause. Deontay Wilder did that. But I don't see, as bad as Deontay Wilder looked in that fight, I don't see the third fight going any different. Deontay Wilder, to stand up to Tyson Fury, has to be completely stripped down.
Yes.
He's got to learn how to box. He can't go in there and be like a George Foreman where he's just relying on that haymaker to knock his head off. That's never going to happen with Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury is too technically sound to let that happen.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. I didn't really like Wilder's excuse of his ring attire, his walkout attire, made his legs so weak that he couldn't really fight. I didn't like them giving him that excuse. But that said, I believe Wilder has the skills and the ability. If he really studies Tyson Fury and gives it just a little bit, takes one fight in between, gets his confidence right back up there, I don't see why he wouldn't present a very, very viable challenge, to be honest.
I don't see it. Tyson Fury, to me, is too technically sound for a wild puncher of Deontay Wilder.
Yeah.
Now, granted, Deontay Wilder's got heavy, heavy hands. He reminds me of an uncoordinated George Foreman.
That's a good one.
That's what Deontay Wilder to me. That's what he looks like to me. He looks like an uncoordinated George Foreman. But he's got such heavy hands.
Oh, man. George was funny, though. George would just put his hands across his face and wait until you got tired of hitting him.
Yeah, well. And then George just drops the hammer, as George would say.
Yeah, he did. He would close that fucking grill of his and crush you. Fuck, man.
So, you want to know, I was watching a documentary on Instagram. I want to say it was about 3 or 4 months ago with Mike Tyson. And we all knew that there was two separate times in Mike Tyson's career that George Foreman wanted a piece of Mike Tyson. And guess who talked Mike Tyson out of it?
Who's that?
Cuss.
Cuss D'Amato?
He goes, yeah. He goes, you don't want no part of this, man. He goes, he's gone toe-to-toe with Muhammad Ali. He's fought Joe Frazier. He's fought all these. He goes, you don't want no part of this guy. This guy's going to kill you. They tried to get George and Mike earlier before. This is even before Buster Douglas.
Yeah, definitely.
And he goes, no. He goes, you do not want no part of this guy. Not at all. He goes, he will knock your block off. And that fight never materialized. As fun as that fight would have been to watch.
That would have been an exciting fight, yes. That definitely would have.
I remember my dad was pissed, but I remember sitting in the living room one night, and I can't remember the year, but I remember the fight. It was Mike Tyson against Michael Spinks.
Oh, shit.
My dad went out. Yeah, my dad went out to take a piss and to grab a beer, and he comes back in. The fight's already over.
What was that? That was the fight was ridiculous. It was 90 seconds?
90 seconds, a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson actually almost knocked him out of the ring.
Yeah. But that was after Spinks held out for, what, about 15 minutes in the dressing room before he came out?
Yeah, he was scared shitless.
Yeah. Well,
but I remember that. The only reason I remember that is because my dad came in so fired up. Because my dad paid a lot of money. I mean, pay-per-view was expensive back then.
Well, it was like $50. But that was different back then.
Yeah, but $50, that was 30 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
And
now, remember I brought this up to you the other day. What do you think about this? Antonio Tarver, who is an extremely good boxer, we all know this, brought up the fact that Tyson never really fought a top 10 guy in their prime without losing. What do you think of that?
He's absolutely correct. Now, I have to give Tyson a lot of credit. Because at the time Tyson was coming up, there was not – the heavyweight division was kind of going – on a downhill slide. There wasn't a lot. Yeah, okay, he fought Michael Spinks. Whoop-de-doo. He fought Larry. He fought a half-retarded Larry Holmes at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Holmes was in his late 40s. Mike Tyson ran across Buster Douglas. Now, granted, there's a lot of controversy in that fight. Mike Tyson knocked Buster Douglas to the canvas.
Yeah.
And the referee didn't start counting until he was down on the canvas for about 3.5 seconds. Mike Tyson should have won that fight. I will argue this to this day that Mike Tyson should have won that fight.
That was
by a knockout.
They had the ringside counters, though. Now they have those guys counting at ringside.
But
just
if you go back and if you go back and watch that knockdown by Tyson, I want to say it was the fourth or fifth round. Buster Douglas was on his ass, on his back, for a good 2.5 to 3, maybe 4 seconds before the ref started counting.
Yeah, that was
Tyson.
Yeah, I do remember that count. That's a very long count.
But the guy is absolutely right. So he fights Evander Holyfield twice, gets beat.
Mm-hmm.
He fights Lennox Lewis, gets beat. But what of all the – he got beat by Buster Douglas. All these men that he fought – were bigger than they were bigger than him.
Yes.
Not weight wise, but tall. But they had length. They were able to keep Mike out of the inside. They just used their jab and kept Mike on the outside. Mike had no chance.
Okay, so. We are getting up on it right now, so I want to go kind of change gears a little bit here, okay? We're going to talk a little bit about the UFC, the card they had last weekend, the UFC on ESPN 10, I versus Calvello. Now, I told you a little bit about this card when it was happening. You know that. We're going to go over the results, and then we're going to kind of look ahead a week and then look ahead to that really big card coming up, the UFC 51. So this card, and you and I have talked about this. I feel the same way. These cards that everybody poo-poos, they say, oh, there's no big names. This is going to be bullshit. I don't want to watch this. They always seem to end up exciting everybody because these fighters put on a hell of a show. And this one did not disappoint. It really didn't. The first three fights, Jason, ended in less than 3 minutes. You know that? It was under 2 minutes. There wasn't even 2 minutes of fighting in the first three fights. You had a TKO, 59 seconds. You had a knockout, an actual knockout, which we all know, TKOs are very common. A knockout's kind of rare in MMA. So we had a knockout at 32 seconds. And then another TKO in 22 seconds. 22 seconds. Okay? So there was two males and one female fight. How would you put that order? Where do you think the female finished the female fight? Do you think she got the fastest, the second fastest, or the slowest knockout of those three?
The fastest.
She did. Julia Avila. She knocked out Gina Mazzini in 22 seconds.
That's quick.
It was ridiculous. It was the fourth fastest finish ever. That for advantage, okay?
Fourth that's fastest. Quick.
But she hit her with this knee, Jason, right in the solar plexus, just clobbered her with this knee. And Julia just took off after her. And, man, it was over. It was just over. Gina, she's tough, too. The average person, if we get hit with a knee in the solar plexus, that's it. We're down. Gina took a lot of punishment after that. And I'm just saying, she's a tough lady. She really is. No disrespect to her. I mean, she got knocked out, yes, but TKO'd. But she's a tough fucking lady.
Right.
But that said, Julia's a beast. I've been a fan of her since Invicta. You and I have talked about her before. She's an animal. I can't wait to see what she does here in the UFC. Tyson Nam, he got a knockout in 32 seconds. I'm not actually going to try to pronounce this guy's name. It's a little bit rough. I listened to it on the broadcast, but it's been a week, or not quite a week. But if I try and pronounce it, I'm going to sound like an asshole. So I'm just going to say Tyson Nam won, and that'll be that. Christian Aguilera defeated Anthony Ivey in 59 seconds by TKO. So we had that. So this is all on the prelims, right?
Right.
They give you, what do they give you? 2 hours for prelims. 2 hours for prelims. The first three fights are over in 2 minutes. They had a lot of time to fill. So the prelims actually, I'm just saying, they were fucking exciting. But it also got really fucking boring because we were waiting for so long. But
right.
That's all I understand. So Merab, I'm really getting tired of these names, and you're going to have to pronounce them next week. I'm not kidding.
Nope.
So
I will not do it. I've caught in a you've given me so much shit for murdering these fighters' names. I just won't do it no more.
Okay. Fuck, I can't get this guy's name. I'm not even going to do it. So Mirab, he defeated Gustavo Lopez by unanimous decision. Just totally dominated that fight. It was a good fight. So starting in the main card, Mariah Agapova, she beat Hannah Cypress with a beautiful rear naked choke. That was extremely exciting. Jordan Espinoza, he beat Mark De La Rosa. He got a unanimous decision. He actually beat 130-26 on one scorecard. Those guys were fun, though. They were exciting to watch. Andre Feely, who has one of the best nicknames in MMA. Andre Feely, what do you think his nickname would be?
I have no clue.
Andre Touchy Feely.
Oh, that's just wrong.
That's clever. That's clever.
No, that's just wrong. Andre Touchy Feely?
Yes.
Oh, there's just something wrong with that. There's just something wrong with that.
Come on, you know you like it.
Not really. There's just something wrong with that.
Is it not better than Ryan Bader's, like, secondary nickname?
I That, I don't know.
We all know that's Ryan Bader, you know, he's the Bellator light heavyweight and heavyweight champion, Ryan Darth Bader, but his secondary nickname is Master Bader, and he hasn't actually used it, but he says he really does want to use it. I don't know if he's going to be able to use it, but it's kind of funny. So Andre Feely defeated Charles Goddard, unanimous decision. That was a close one. Rosa, he defeated Carl Robertson by submission, or split, geez, submission, sorry. I'm getting these all mixed up. Marvin Vettori defeated Carl Robertson. He beat Carl by his rear naked choke. Then we got the main event, Cynthia Calvillo. She made her move up to 125. She moved up to flyweight and took on Jessica Eye. Now, this is where there was controversy. I told you about it. Jessica Eye came in overweight by 0.25 pounds. So in Nevada, you know, they give you a pound. So if you're fighting at 125, you can weigh in up to 126 unless it's a title fight. Now, I came in 126.2. But there's a lot of controversy there because Jessica Eye, her management said that she was coming in 3.4 pounds overweight, and then she all of a sudden lost all that extra weight. Calvillo said no. She came in way heavier than that. It just got a little bit of weird. They did have the fight. It did go five rounds. Jessica was obviously the bigger female, but Cynthia is a very well-rounded fighter. She was able to take it to the ground when she needed to. She definitely got a dominating decision. It was a unanimous decision. Some of the judging was a little bit funky, but at least the right woman did win. The first round was fairly close. Most people gave it to Jessica because of the striking. It didn't once go to the ground. Round two through five, Cynthia took over and did a very good job. It was nice to see Cynthia move on up. She's definitely suited to that weight class. She's a little small, but her speed is always going to be there. Her wrestling is very, very solid. She now trains in American Kickboxing Academy in San Jose, but she did come from Team Alpha Male down in Sacramento. She's got great grappling. She's just it's kind of cool to see what she is now. So I'm excited to see Cynthia move forward. So what do you think next, Jason? I mean, we all know Valentina Shevchenko. She's the top of the flyweight pack. She's an animal. Now, she's taking on somebody I know you like, Joanne Calderwood, next. But I don't see that as much of a challenge, do you?
No, not at all.
Okay. So what do you think about Cynthia? Do you think Cynthia would actually be able to challenge Shevchenko at all, or what?
No, I don't see that fight getting out of the first round, honestly.
Oh, wow.
I just think Shevchenko's that much better of a fighter. I just don't think her opponent's just not there yet. Not to that level.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean,
so what we're going to do, we're going to talk a little bit about this coming up fight, this one coming up on June 20th. This is kind of exciting. That is going to be a fun one. That's going to be this Saturday. This is a new card. This is a UFC on ESPN 11. It's all on ESPN, ESPN Plus. For those of you that have it, great. I totally get it. It's a cool little card, you know. We got Austin Hubbard versus Max. Gosh, what is up with these names? Roscoff? Roxanne Modafferi, who everybody knows her. She's taking on Lauren Murphy. That's going to be a good one. Frank Camacho versus Matt Frivola. Courtney Casey versus Jillian Robertson. That's a fun one. Mark Andre Peralt versus Oscar Pachota. Tisha Torres versus Brianna Van Buren. Here's one that I know you're going to like, Jason. Bobby Green versus Clay Guida to round out the preliminary card. What do you think about that?
That's going to be a fun fight. I've always liked both of those fighters anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who I would take in that fight, honestly. I think that fight's going to come to – it's going to come to a unanimous decision. I just don't know who. It's going the distance.
I think so. Now, for the main card, we got Jim Miller versus Roosevelt Roberts, Lyman Good versus Bilal Muhammad, Raquel Pennington, who I know is one of your favorites. She's taking on Marion Renault, Shane Burgos versus Josh Emmett, and Curtis Blade versus Alexander Volkov.
I'm taking Raquel Pennington by a second-round submission.
Over Marion Renault, huh?
Yeah.
Marion's a tough lady, but Raquel's tough, too. I really like that. I'm going to go.
Before you lay out your before you lay out who you're taking, I'm going to put a bet on this fight with you.
Okay.
I'm taking Raquel in a second round submission.
Uh-huh. I'll take that bet all day.
So you don't think that one's going to happen?
I don't see it happen, but I'll take that bet all day.
So
that fight's going to the
loser. The loser is going to buy the winner dinner at a restaurant of their choice.
I think that's doable. Yeah, I would take
even though I did not fulfill the loss. The last bet we made, I started looking at it. I'm like, I'm not going to jail.
No. That was a bad one. This one's good. I like this one. I really like Raquel Pennington.
Why don't you tell our listeners what I was supposed to do in that bet?
You know, that was so long ago and so childish. I don't think we're going to bring that up. We got a much more mature audience now. I think we don't need to cater to that whole crowd anymore.
I'm supposed to run up to Port Boulevard thong.
We're gonna let that one go.
I know. I just told my girlfriend what the bet was, the one I lost.
Okay.
She just looks at me. She goes, "What?"
Yeah.
I think I would have gotten arrested.
It's possible. It's quite possible.
Possible. No, that was going to happen.
Yeah. This one, though, this is definitely my lock of the night. I'm telling you, right now, Volkov is going to beat Curtis Blades. I really see it happening. And
I don't know much about those fighters, actually.
Oh, Volkov's cool. I really like him. He's good. Curtis Blade, I really like. He's a good grappler, big fucker. I just don't think he's going to be able to handle Volkov. Volkov's just going to work him, I think. I just don't see anything else happening there.
But I'm excited for 251.
Yeah, 251 is going to be the card. It's a massive card. You got Usman versus Gilbert Burns for the welterweight title. Volkanovski versus Max Holloway 2 for the featherweight title. Peter Yan versus Jose Aldo for the bantamweight title. Jessica Andrade versus Rose Namajunas 2. Amanda Ribas versus Paige VanZant. What's that?
That's, even though that's the first fight on that card.
Which one?
That's the fight I'm actually most looking forward to, is Paige VanZant.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason
she hasn't been in the octagon in two years.
It's the first fight on the main card.
Yeah.
She hasn't been in the octagon in 2 years because, now, Paige is a strong, badass woman.
Mm-hmm.
Her last fight, yes, she got beat. But we didn't know, and for, a day later, that she fought the last three rounds of her fight, or the last two rounds of her fight, with a broken arm.
Yeah, definitely.
Three surgeries later. I want to see how she comes out. Now, a two-year layoff, that's a lot for, I don't care if you're an MMA fighter, a boxer, a two-year layoff's a two-year layoff. A lot of ring rust.
Yeah, no, definitely. But she is tough. A lot of people are kind of down on her because of her looks and whatnot. But when she goes out and fights, you know, she's a beast. She is. She doesn't quick tap. She breaks her arm and keeps going. Rose just beat her from pillar to post, and she never gave up. Rose had to choke her unconscious before the fight was over.
Yep.
You know, it's just, she's just a tough lady, and she's a real fighter. She really is. It doesn't matter what she looks like. She's a fighter.
And I'm a Rose fan too. And I'm excited for her next fight.
Yes.
But I always look forward to her fights. She's so exciting to watch.
Rose is tough. Her striking's better every frickin' fight. And her grappling,
right.
I mean, she throws up flying arm bars. She literally throws up flying arm bars. It's incredible to watch this lady fight. I cannot wait to see her go in there. And I got nothing against Jessica. I really love Jessica Andrade. She's a good fighter. She's a strong woman. I can't wait for that fight.
Now, I've always loved Jessica Andrade. I'm still a fan. I just don't think I give that fight two rounds. I don't think it's going that long.
No, that's going to be a tough fight. I don't know if it's, I think it's going to be a unanimous decision, to be honest, but that's going to be a tough, bloody fucking fight.
It's going to be.
Yeah. Now, what do you think about, this is kind of a fun fight, but this is what we were talking about. Holloway got beat by Volkanovski. Pretty solid, but he gets an immediate rematch. What do you think about that?
I don't think it's going to go any different.
Yeah.
I think Max Holloway gets the shit kicked out of him again.
I'm having a tough time with it because Max is so good. He's smart and he's tough. I don't know that he's not going to have learned and updated, and he's going to be better than he was. You know, all the people got to him saying how good he was. Hey, Max, why don't you move up and fight Khabib? Why don't you do this? Maybe this grounds him, and he says, I'm just going to go in there and crush this guy. Max is huge for 145, so I'm really looking forward to that, too. I think Max, if his head's on right, I don't see him losing this fight. I don't see him lose. I think he's going to get that title back.
I don't think so. And I would even throw a small wager out on this, but you can't drink.
No.
I would just say the winner has to buy the loser a 12-pack of beer.
I drink a lot of water. I'm telling you.
Okay, I'll buy you a flat of water.
No, you'll buy me all I can eat buffalo wings.
Not all you can eat.
Come on, dude, no.
Uh-uh. No.
We'll
no.
See. We'll see.
You would eat me at a house at home, you some bitch.
We'll see. We'll think of something. That card's not coming up for a bit, but we'll definitely think of something. That card is shit. I mean, I don't even know if they got a date for it yet, to be honest. I know this is 251. I don't know that there's it's supposed to be on Fight Island. It's July 11th by date. You know, obviously they have a date for it. I was thinking of time, but we'll see. It's going to be a great night. You really don't want to miss this night of fights.
No, that's going to be a great card.
Yeah. No,
that
sure.
one I might pay. That one I might pay for.
Yeah. That if anybody's thinking about buying these cards, they're bored. Whatever's going on, that's one to actually buy. That really is. That's going to be a good card. That's going to be a fun card.
So, I know we're getting to the end, but there was a card. I want to say it was maybe 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the heavyweight match. And I forgot how heavy this guy just landed bombs. And I'm talking about Francis Ngannou.
Oh, yeah.
That, dude, I saw you and I were actually texting back and forth during a fight. And that was probably the most boringest fight I've ever saw in the UFC.
Well,
there was just no action.
You still haven't seen Nate Quarry versus Caleb Starnes. This was a thing I got onto on Twitter the other day. You need, if anybody out there wants to see a fight so bad, it's actually good. Watch Caleb Starnes run from Nate Quarry for 3 rounds. He literally ran around the octagon, not engaging. Nate Quarry at one point had to put his arms across his face and throw hammer fists as he's running after Caleb. It was absolutely ridiculous. Caleb lost so bad he got booted from the UFC. Nate actually started high stepping around the octagon, chasing him, high stepping. Just doing anything he could to try and engage, and Caleb would have none of it. He ran for 15 minutes. It was horrible.
Do you remember that fight with Francis Ngannou? I can't remember who it was. That was the worst fight. I mean, they had this thing so built up, and I bought this card just for this fight. I spent that $70, and I was so disappointed.
They had the two heavy hitters,
But that last fight Francis Ngannou fought in, I forgot how hard he punched. He hit that guy, so I think that guy was knocked out before he hit the canvas.
Yeah, I think so.
He was snoring logs before he hit that canvas.
Mm-hmm.
He's just one of those guys that if he connects, you're going night-night.
It doesn't take much from him. No, not at all.
But before we – so there was a question asked earlier this week. And before we end the show, I want your opinion on this question.
Yes.
Now, I already have my answer on this question.
Okay.
Who can stop John Jones right now?
USADA?
You know what? You know what? You and I answered the question the same fucking way. John Jones can only stop John Jones.
Yeah.
I answered it that way. But what fighter in the UFC right now, if John Jones comes in completely clean,
mm-hmm.
who can stop him?
Okay, first of all, I'm gonna say this. You saw that we all thought about this. The United States Anti-Doping Agency, they are the ones that have caught Jones twice doping.
Right.
Once for cocaine and once for performance-enhancing drugs. So he's pretty much gotten very easy things. We all know he's had his trouble outside the octagon, multiple, what, three DUIs? And the most recent one. But beyond that, I would say the best one was that pre-fight scuffle with one of my absolute most hated fighters ever, Daniel Cormier, where Cormier actually took his shoe off and stood on Jones because Jones punched him.
And
I'm still baffled by what professional fighter takes his shoe off to throw it at a guy instead of fighting him. But
which is hilarious.
Yeah, beyond that, I don't believe there's a fighter out there right now in the UFC that's going to beat him. It's just, I mean, he'll have tough fights, and he does, but I just don't see him losing.
Now, your most hated fighter is getting ready to fight again.
Yes.
Which should be a good fight. I don't know. I mean, we've seen it.
He's taking on Stipe Miocic. Stipe
for
Daniel Cormier
for the
knocked
third
out
time.
Stipe. Yeah, Daniel knocked him out, got the title, and then Stipe came back and knocked Daniel out, got the title back, and now they're fighting for a third time. I don't like Daniel Cormier, and it's not that I don't really like him. I don't like his pretend attitude. His real attitude is great. He's great when he's announcing, except for when he talks about himself all the time, which he does. And he talks about his guys and how his guys are going to win every fight, which he does. Beyond that, he's tolerable.
Thank God the guy I can't stand left the UFC is now a announcer.
Who is that?
I can't even pronounce. You let our listeners know for this one. I turn it off when he even starts talking. I just can't stand the guy.
I don't know who it is. You got to tell me. You got to give me a first name.
Michael Bisping.
Yeah, I totally get it. Now, did you know he fought a lot of these last bunch of fights without one eye? He actually has a glass eye.
I know, but I just, dude, the guy is a cocksucker.
He won the middleweight title with a glass eye.
I know.
He has no depth,
but
no depth perception, and he won the middleweight title. That's crazy.
The guy is a cocksucker.
I agree. I don't like his attitude. I agree with you there. But back to Daniel Cormier and Stipe. Beyond that, Daniel, he puts on a persona. When he's not being fake Daniel, I'm sure he's a good guy. I really am. But when he's being fake Daniel trying to hype fights up, he's stupid to me. But him versus Stipe, I don't see Daniel losing the fight. I don't think Daniel's going to fuck around and try and stand with him. I think he's going to take him down and dominate it.
I can see it going both ways, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a trilogy fight that I've always agreed with.
Yes. Except for Daniel got knocked out in the last fight. He should have had a fight in between. He should have. But they don't – all the UFC is seeing right now is dollar signs. They're like, oh, we're going to make money off this, so let's do it. We don't care that this guy just got knocked out. Same for Stipe, though, you know. It's just – I hate these.
Well, it is what it is. I mean, it's already on the books. We can't do anything about it.
No, definitely. I know what you mean. It's we'll see what happens. So it's like, you know, Daniel came back. He beat Stipe. Then he lost, or he beat Derek Lewis. That was just a ridiculous fight. But then he lost to Stipe. You know, so Stipe himself, we all know him. He came up, he's a very, very good fighter, but he's also a full-time firefighter. He's a full-time firefighter at this level. It's ridiculous. So he beat your guy, Francis Ngannou, him. He's beat a lot. He beat Alistair Overeem, Verdum. He did lose to Junior Dos Santos, which he came back and knocked out, but Junior's great. So he lost to Daniel, then he beat Daniel, and now he's going to get a rematch with Daniel. So his last three fights are all Daniel Cormier. Daniel Cormier, his last four fights, three of them are Stipe. It's crazy. Like, is there nobody else in the heavyweight division for these guys to fight?
No one that will take on each other. Because no one wants to fight either one of these two.
I know. We will dive into that more next week. We will definitely be talking. We're going to be breaking down a little bit more of UFC 251 and the UFC on ESPN 11 for sure. We definitely want to bring you some more boxing news. And anything else we can bring up, we're definitely going to do it. We thank you all for listening. This was our first show. So this is our first show back. Like I said, we've been away for a while. We're here on Wicked Curiosity. We love being here. We want to thank everybody for listening. We had a blast coming on the show. This is our time. We're coming on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock, 8 our time, 8 Pacific, 11 o'clock if you're over back east. So with that, I want to say thank you for listening. Jason, go ahead and take us out, okay?
It was good to be back. You and I haven't been on the air in, I would say, almost a year. And
definitely.
We're going to bring you some great interviews over the next few weeks. And you're always going to get a fun show to listen to, laugh. It's just who Brian and I are. So until next week, I will talk to you guys later.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Bye.